Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, June 30th. MISD, Goal Progress Happening. Superintendent says, this is first year district reaches basically all of board approved targets. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD officials told the board this week of academic performance not experienced in at least 5 years. Based on goal progress measures, which are part of the Lone Star Governance Training Initiative, Midland ISD is reporting pretty significant progress during the 2021-2022 school year. While STAR, State Standardized Test Scores, will be reported possibly in July and campus scores in August, MISD Superintendent Angelica Ramsey was super happy with the progress officials reported this week. Quote, I can preliminarily say that we met every goal progress measurement target except for one, Ramsey told the Reporter Telegram this week. Lone Star governance was put into place in early 2017 after the Texas Education Agency met with MISD leaders about struggles the district was having with failing schools. Lone Star governance was expected to help the district improve student outcomes and provide autonomy for those that earned it. Goal progress measures were developed by MISD staff and approved by the board. The board hears reports on goal progress measures, including those having to do with academic achievement, at every monthly meeting. For instance, board members heard about GPMs dealing with third grade reading and math and fourth through eighth grade reading and math at this week's school board meeting. On those four GPMs, MISD student outcomes outperformed end-of-year targets by an average of 10.5 points, and those scores didn't represent those who passed for the likely to succeed in the next grade or course with targeted academic intervention, but those who met grade level for those students that showed a good understanding of the subject material and is ready for the next grade. That is a higher standard. Even trying to achieve that higher standard, MISD came within 1 percentage point of meeting or exceeding targets on 6 goal progress measures not based on the STAR test. Quote, these are amazing outcomes for our students coming out of a little more than 2 years of a pandemic-altered education, Murray stated in a text to the Reporter Telegram. We couldn't be happier for our students and are very appreciative of the hard work and dedication of our teachers, administrators, and support staff. We are excited to see the STAR results coming in July or August and look forward to continued improvement. End quote. STAR test performance is the next area where district officials see an opportunity to show the community basically across-the-board improvement. District officials expect the state accountability system will show the number of failing campuses have dropped and, equally as important, will show growth taking place on campuses that typically struggle. Ramsey said she is confident in the results she is seeing and the work taking place by teachers and students on campuses. She also said a strategic plan is being launched that is more global or puts all campuses headed in the same direction. Quote, I feel really strongly about the shifts happening in the system, Ramsey said. Gladney provides adoption services. Vice President says Center's mission of helping with adoptions doesn't change with top court's ruling. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Editor's note. The following is another story about alternatives to abortion in Midland, following the U.S. Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade. The demand for families wanting to adopt is greater than ever, according to a Gladney Center for Adoption official. Jennifer Latner, Vice President of Education and Communications for the organization, said this week that there are 1 million to 2 million families in the U.S. who want to adopt a child, and that Gladney is having to turn away families more than ever before. Lanter talked with the reporter Telegram after the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade ruling, although she stayed away from commenting specifically about the decision. Her preference was to stay out of the debate. Quote, "Our mission stays the same," Lanter said. "We don't want people to feel forced to make an adoption plan. That is not an easy decision. It can be beautiful, but it also can be hard. We want to stay neutral," end quote. Gladney, according to its website, exists to give children, quote, "loving, caring families here at home and around the world. That's the heart of our mission," end quote. The organization provides resources, including free medical care and counseling, for those interested in making that difficult decision. Quote, "Services for life" was how Lanter described it. "Adoption requires a lot of support," end quote. Gladney has had a presence in Midland for some time. Lanter said Midland is like a second home for the organization and that Gladney has a good relationship with the Life Center. She said since the goal doesn't change, regardless of a court decision, Gladney will continue to work to educate those with accurate information about the adoption process. That includes dealing with the complexities, including how much contact a birthing mother has with the family adopting or the child. Lanter says the process has become more open for those wanting that contact. Lanter also said the greatest challenge when it comes to adoption is finding homes for those kids in the Texas foster care system, specifically those children 6 and up. She said there are as many as 4,000 in the system. Quote, "We are here to help," Lanter said. It has been that way for Gladney for more than 135 years. Texas Tribune event to focus on declining higher ed enrollment. Journalists to discuss issues with UTPB, Odessa College, Ector County ISD educators. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The Texas Tribune is coming back to the Permian Basin with an event today at Odessa College. The Tribune will present The Great Student Resignation at noon in Odessa, a free in-person and virtual event on declining enrollment in higher education, who is being left out, and what the long-term impacts could be. According to the Tribune, Texas higher ed lost 75,000 students between 2019 and 2021. The panel will include Sandra Woodley, president of the University of Texas Permian Basin, Gregory Williams, president of Odessa College, and Scott Murray, superintendent of Ector County Independent School District. Evan Smith, the Texas Tribune CEO, will moderate the event. For Smith, it will be a return to Odessa Midland, where he has conducted conversations with former Congressman Mike Conaway and state legislators, including State Representative Tom Craddock. The following is a question and answer with Evan Smith about The Great Student Resignation, which will be held at the Salisbury Campus Center's Zant Community Room, Room 222, at 201 West University Boulevard in Odessa. MRT question. What made Odessa the right location for this conversation about higher education? Evan Smith. The Permian Basin is an incredibly important part of Texas. The challenges for higher ed are magnified outside of the biggest cities. We picked an area of the state where the challenges are great and where the need to set the table of opportunity for everybody is great. There are very important institutions of higher education in the Permian, and it's a place we've been many times to do events. In some ways, all of those roads converged, and this is where we decided to go. MRT. What do you like about this panel? Evan Smith. I wanted to have community colleges reflected alongside four-year institutions because until the pandemic, more than 50% of higher ed enrollment was in community colleges. For years and years, when you talk about higher ed in Texas, you're really talking about community colleges because community colleges have had significant enrollment. Now they've dropped below 50%, but it's still very significant. I think UT Permian Basin is one of the underappreciated and undervalued regional campuses of one of the big university systems. Sandra Woodley, the president, is a real star in the constellation of higher ed leaders. Gregory Williams and Odessa College have been recognized nationally for being among the best at what they do. We don't know Scott Murray, the school district superintendent, very well at this point. We're going to get to know him well on Thursday, but what they have done to create a college-going culture is significant. I'm excited about the combination of these three leaders, and I think they represent all sides of the conversation that we intend to have. MRT. Is there region-specific questions you really want to ask? Evan Smith. One of the reasons that higher ed enrollment has dropped is because at a moment of economic anxiety, and certainly over the last 3 years we've had that, job opportunities that pay well are a disincentive for kids to continue their education. No place has that been more the case than in the Permian, where there are billboards and job opportunities all over the place advertising high-paying jobs in oil and gas that have distracted attention away from higher ed and toward just getting to work. The price of oil is over $100 a barrel. Kids leaving school, choosing between higher ed and going to work in the oil and gas industry, have a real incentive to be paid significantly well choosing option two. It is region-specific. I want to understand how much oil and gas and opportunities in that industry hurt the conversation around higher ed. MRT. When researching the topic, was there something that took you by surprise? Evan Smith. UT Permian Basin and Odessa College may not be as bad off as some other colleges, including community colleges in other places. I'm interested in talking to these two leaders about what's working as well as what's not working. The Texas Tribune is the only member-supported, digital-first, nonpartisan media organization that informs Texans and engages with them about public policy, politics, government, and statewide issues. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, June 30th. Rhonda Carroll Adamson. Funeral services for Rhonda Carroll Adamson, age 67, of Seminole, will be held Thursday, June 30th at 2 p.m. in the First Presbyterian Church, with Reverend Dennis Harrelson officiating, under the direction of Ratliff Funeral Home. Rhonda passed away on June 26th, surrounded by her family. She was born July 21st, 1954, to Melvin and Ellie Warren Clark in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Rhonda moved to Seminole in 1968. She married the love of her life on November 28, 1980, in Seminole. Rhonda was employed with Amerada Hess for for over 20 years and retired in the year 2000. Rhonda is survived by her husband, Glenn Adamson of Midland, one son, Adam Burrell of Midland, one daughter, Amanda Danley, and husband Todd of Seminole, her mother, Ellie Hillis of Odessa, her father, Melvin Clark of Midland, brother Chet Clark and wife Tammy of Seminole, two sisters, Tony Holland and husband Bob of Birmingham, Alabama, and Rachel Stout of Midland. She is also survived by four grandchildren. On Wednesday, June 22nd, Steve Barron Story passed away. Stephen was born at Bryan College Station on December 17, 1995, to Joe Barron Story, Jr. and Stephanie Ann Williams Story of Caldwell, Texas. Stephen and his mom and dad moved to Midland when he was 20 months old. At the age of six, they moved to Brownwood. He went to elementary and junior high school in Bangs, Texas. Eventually, they moved back to Midland, where he went to school at Midland Freshman School, where he was in ROTC. Stephen is survived by his wife, Anna DeCerto Story of Midland, his father, Joe B. Story, Jr. of Midland, mom, Stephanie Wells of Blessing, Texas, his brothers, Dylan and Owen Story of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, brothers at heart, Kobe Barr and Tyler Richmond of Midland, half-sisters, Kayla Carter of North Vernon, Indiana, and Crystal Carter of Madison, Indiana, his grandmother, Mabel Cadell of Caldwell, Texas, and grandmother Jane Collins of Midland, grandfather Joe B. Story, Jr., and wife Rachel of Temple, Texas. He was predeceased by his great-grandfather, Baron Leslie Fleecy Story, and great-grandmother Floyd Story, great-grandmother Veda Hale, and great-grandfather Louis Hale, grandfather Louis Cadell, and Cecil Williams. In lieu of flowers, the family would be so grateful and request donation be given to the funeral home to assist with expenses. Viewing and graveside will be Friday, July 1st, from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. A graveside service will follow at 2 p.m. at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Brother Bob Porterfield will officiate. Graveside service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. David Earl Jordan, age 62, of Midland, passed away June 26. Receiving of family and friends will be on Friday, July 1st, from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held on Saturday, July 2nd at 11 a.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Leona Maxine Breeding Jungman McLaughlin, age 91, of Midland, passed away June 15th. The family will receive guests from 1 p.m. to 2:45 p.m. Friday, July 1st, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, with interment following at 3 p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim. I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, June 30th. Bonham Principal, looking forward to New Year. the new principal of Bonham Middle School is going back to his roots as an educator and administrator. Working in Ector County ISD the past 3 years, Juan Dominguez has been leadership coordinator, assistant principal at Permian High School, and most recently acting principal at Bonham. He was named the permanent campus chief in May. Dominguez replaces Marka Austin. Previously, he was in Midland for 20 years, where he coached, taught, and served as assistant principal and principal. Early on, he worked in Pecos and did his student teaching in Imperial. He also was recently named Professional of the Year for ECISD. A native of Comstock near Del Rio, he attended Sol Ross State University, majoring in kinesiology with a minor in Spanish. Dominguez earned a master's in leadership through the University of Texas Permian Basin and his superintendent's certification through Region 18 Education Service Center. Back in the day, this was back in the middle 90s, just coming to Midland to me, it was kind of scary because it was big compared to what I knew. Del Rio probably has maybe 30,000, but coming to Odessa and Midland, it's like, man, these places are huge, Dominguez said, together. Dominguez and his wife Angela have 7 children. Angela Dominguez is an elementary English language arts circulation specialist for the district. As leadership coordinator, Dominguez said a lot of people called him and he tried to help as much as he could. I liked being able to come in and help and make a difference. That was what really motivated me to come back into the principalship, is just being able to come in and help out, seeing the kids be successful and being a true advocate for all our kids, Dominguez said. To him, it's all about serving the community, parents, and teachers. Bonham has about 900 students in grades 6 through 8. On the staffing front, he is still transitioning, and he's looking for people. The only thing I look for when I'm looking for people for Bonham are people that love kids, people that care about kids. To me, that's the most important thing, Dominguez said. We have a variety of kids, and we have challenging kids like everybody else, but I want the people that come to work here to be able to relate to the students, he added. Dominguez got a chance to know the staff as acting principal. We've got some outstanding, very loving, caring people on this campus. I think that's kind of what also attracted me to this position, is that we all had the same vision and the same goal, and that's to see all of our kids succeed, he added. Since he was little, Dominguez said, he's had people to help guide him, mold him and push him in the right direction. Originally, I just wanted to coach. That's all I really wanted to get into the profession, was for coaching. Life is kind of funny. It kind of opens up other doors and other opportunities, and before you know it, here we are, Dominguez said. He has coached football, basketball, track, and tennis, both girls and boys. In Comstock, he ran cross country, played basketball, and ran track. My graduating class was 7. It was a little bitty town, so everybody just wanted to participate. Like I said, I think that's kind of what helped me, is the teachers really took you under their wing, and they helped you and pushed you, Dominguez said. He wants Bonham students to have the same experience. I know it's a bigger school and more kids, but I want all of our staff members here to take our kids under their wing. Our big push is for them to either continue through post-secondary for college or career, Dominguez said. He wants to see all of the students succeed. I want to be able to change adult behaviors so that every child has an opportunity to continue learning. I want to be able to remove as many barriers as possible for our kids. And of course, I want to be able to develop capacity in all our staff, all our teachers. I want them to become leaders. I want them to continue growing professionally as well, Dominguez said. He added that he would like more parental involvement and get more students involved in extracurricular activities. Dominguez said he is enthusiastic about the upcoming school year. I'm excited about the staff that we're putting together here, and I'm excited to see Bonham really succeed. I know that our parents are on board with us, and I look forward to working with them hand in hand to making sure kids succeed, Dominguez said. On winning Professional of the Year honors, Dominguez said it was an honor. Working for ECISD, there's a lot of great, great people. I didn't expect it, to be honest with you, but it's a true honor to be able to receive the award, Dominguez said. We do what we do because that's what we love doing. We don't do it to get recognition or anything. And so, like I said, to me, that was a huge surprise, he added. Chief of Schools Keeley Simpson said Dominguez is an experienced principal who has led successful school improvement efforts in previous roles. He set high expectations for students and understands the importance of building supportive relationships with every one of them, Simpson said. Executive Director of Leadership Aaron Bueno said Dominguez is an effective, experienced principal who has positively changed the culture at Bonham. He is well respected by the staff and, most importantly, the students. Mr. Dominguez is visible, active, and involved on campus. Mr. Dominguez will continue to positively impact the students at Bonham Middle School. We are all excited about the growth at Bonham Middle School, Bueno said. On Dominguez winning Professional of the Year, Simpson said it is well-deserved. He started out the year as our leadership coordinator and was excellent as a connector for parents and schools in quickly resolving concerns. He then transitioned to acting principal at Bonham with energy and excitement, she added. Building the future, students experience fun of engineering. With the aim of getting more students interested in science, technology, engineering, and math fields, University of Texas Permian Basin College of Engineering is hosting engineering camps. This week, the Unite Camp is being put on, and the XTO Camp has middle school students. Unite is funded through the U.S. Army, and the objective is to increase participation of the underrepresented groups in STEM disciplines, Dean of the College of Engineering, George Nana, said. There are a total of 57 students in both camps. Nana said there were 23 in the UNITE program from throughout the Permian Basin. The age ranges from grades 9 through 12. The purpose is to bring families, students from military families, and as well the underrepresented groups, so the purpose is to expose them to various aspects of engineering as well as STEM. They are currently learning about the electrical engineering, understanding voltage, current, alternating current, and voltage drops, Nana said. They are learning about many other aspects of engineering as well. Nana said 10 professors are presenting the lectures. The camp director is Mesut Uyuku. The ultimate goal is to increase the pipeline for students that are going into engineering as well, Nana said. He added that the campers could be his future engineering students. We tried to show them engineering can be fun and it also can help society. So as they go through these 4 weeks of lectures, as well as experimental learning, they will be able to get the exposure of all the aspects of engineering, Nana said. He added that they are fortunate to have very dedicated and inquisitive students that are eager to learn. The selection process, I think, is well done because we've not had any issues and they have been highly focused. This group is being run by engineering professors. So we have 10 engineering professors dedicated to the program and also one professor from biological science. Without these professors, it would be difficult to execute the program, Nana said. The biology professor is presenting a perspective of STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. There is also a major in engineering called bioengineering, so it's also a combination of biology and engineering, Nana said. Zorian Henderson, 14, is going into 10th grade at OC Techs, and Lorenzo Erazo, 13, is going into 9th grade at Early College High School at Midland College. It helps us learn more about engineering and deciding our future, Henderson said. She added that she was able to understand what the professors were presenting, because most of it is like what we've learned from 9th grade year. The math is that easy, Henderson said. She added that it takes someone else to help with some of the other math. Henderson said she wouldn't have met some of the students if she hadn't gone to the camp, and that's what she's learning will help her when she goes back in the fall. Now I know where I want to go with my majors, because I'm going to go ahead and graduate with my criminal justice degree and then go back and get a mechanical engineering degree, Henderson said. Erazo said he signed up for the camp for the hands-on experience and because he wants to be an engineer. And also my parents made me, he said. Erazo said the camp has been really fun so far. It's a lot more fun than I expected it to be, he added. He added that it will help him when he goes back to school, and he mostly understands what the professors are talking about. They both enjoyed the elephant toothpaste. You have hydrogen peroxide, and it slowly starts separating from the oxygen, so eventually it'll just have water. And if you mix it with potassium iodine, that makes it so the reaction happens faster, Erazo said. It's like an explosion, Henderson said. You see the smoke and then it puffs out and you can do colors. You can make it the colors you want, Henderson added. Nana said they are grateful to the U.S. Army, XTO Energy, and the College of Engineering for putting on all of the programs together. It's a huge impact to the community, Nana said. UT Regents approve mental health funding. The University of Texas System Board of Regents affirmed its longstanding commitment to prioritize student mental health and safety today in a special called meeting, approving the allocation of $16.5 million over the next 5 years to expand and enhance student mental health, student safety, and alcohol education resources at all 13 UT academic and health institutions. A news release detailed that UT has been at the forefront of this important space dating back to 2011, when it became the first system of higher education in the nation to approve an investment toward comprehensive alcohol prevention, education, and recovery programs at each of its academic campuses. Student safety is always top of mind for the UT System Board of Regents. Chair Kevin P. L. Tyfe said in the release, "Our unanimous support of new funding speaks to the board's commitment to ensure the very best learning environments for all students across all UT institutions." Chancellor James Milliken said UT system leadership recommended additional investment in student mental health resources to the board based on national studies and internal data that has shown a significant rise in the diagnosis and treatment of student mental health issues, including stress, anxiety, and depression over the past 10 plus years. The coronavirus pandemic and its associated challenges accelerated this trend, as the percentage of students at UT institutions who were diagnosed by and or received medical health services from a professional increased from 20% to 30% from 2011 to 2021. Student counseling centers reported a 38% increase in psychiatric hospitalizations during the same period. Student safety and wellness remain a most critical priority for UT institutions, and the Board of Regents' newest investment will support educate, and treat students at all UT academic and health institutions throughout their journey toward a degree, Milliken said. Our campuses are grateful for the timing of these new resources that will allow them to expand and enhance the student services determined to be most effective over the past 11 years and during the pandemic. Milliken noted that the expanded Student Mental Health Initiative will continue to be overseen by UT Austin, which has led UT's system-wide effort to nurture student wellness and safety across the system since 2011. The chancellor emphasized UT Austin's capacity and history of success as a leader in student mental health in his remarks to the board. The total allocation of $16,500,000 will fund 5 initiatives as well as evaluation of their impact for 5 years across the UT system. These being Mental Health Crisis Line, expanding clinical mental health services to students via telehealth, web-based alcohol education and sexual assault and harassment prevention for students, harassment safety and other training for faculty and staff training, Thrive at UT mobile app. Obituaries for June 30th. K. Rita Jarrell left this earth on the wings of angels and entered the gates of heaven on June 24th at the age of 63. K. was born on November 12, 1958 in Odessa to Grady and Alice Glenn. K. is survived by her husband, Terry Jarrell, 2 daughters, Misty Bolgiano and Garrett Ramsey, 4 grandchildren, and sisters Risa Craig and Patty Bentley. She had numerous family and friends that she loved and cared for that were supportive and played an important role in her life. She is preceded in death by her parents, Grady and Alice Glenn, and her niece, Emily Dawn Everett. The celebration of Kay's life will begin with visitation on Wednesday, June 29th at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral service will be at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home on Thursday, June 30th at 1 p.m. with David Newton officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Mike Oden, 70, of Odessa, died Tuesday, June 20th in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Friday, June 1st at Faith Community Baptist Church. Brother Wayne Shelton is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Verrill Pierce Sr., 82, of Odessa, died Sunday, June 26th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 3 p.m. July 2nd at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Midland Habitat for Humanity dedicates the 178th house in program's history. On Tuesday, Midland Habitat for Humanity announced it has dedicated its 178th house, located at 814 Wolfberry Court in Midland. The home was funded by the Permian Basin Area Foundation and the Moriah Foundation. MHFH is one of the premier institutions responsible for constructing affordable housing in the Permian Basin. The organization's partnership model offers deserving, hardworking families a hand up. MHFH uses a rigorous qualifying process that includes progress from the application through home ownership. Each participant contributes a minimum of 350 hours of sweat equity on the worksite and completes a home ownership education program. Successful candidates are then awarded a 0% interest mortgage, making home ownership a reality for some of the neediest families in the Permian Basin. Anyone interested in supporting MHFH's efforts in the Permian Basin can contact Jeff Myers, Chief of Staff, at 432-686-8877. Midland Habitat for Humanity is a Christian-based nonprofit organization that builds homes for low-income families trapped in substandard housing. Homeowners make house payments to Habitat with a 0% interest, 25-year mortgage. These house payments go into a fund to build more homes. For more information, visit www.habitatmidland.org or call 432-686-8877. Tips for creating a dementia-friendly July 4th. Fireworks and gatherings are staples of the 4th of July holiday, but these can create unique challenges for families affected by Alzheimer's disease and other dementia-related illnesses, a press release from the Alzheimer's Foundation of America detailed. As we get ready to celebrate Independence Day, the AFA is offering 4 tips to help families create a dementia-friendly 4th of July. Celebrating Independence Day can still be a fun, enjoyable experience for families impacted by dementia-related illnesses by making the proper adaptations. Jennifer Reeder, LCSW, SIFI, AFA's Director of Educational and Social Services, stated in the press release. Being proactive, prepared, and adaptable are the best ways caregivers can create a dementia-friendly 4th of July for their loved ones. AFA encourages families to follow these tips to help create a dementia-friendly 4th of July. Blow off the fireworks. Fireworks and loud explosions can be distressing for someone living with dementia. If your loved one is also a war veteran, be mindful that fireworks noise can be triggering and misinterpreted as gunshots or bombs. Consider keeping the person indoors at times they are likely to hear fireworks. Adapt the fireworks tradition by watching a fireworks display on TV. Be prepared. Even if you're inside, the noise and explosions of nearby fireworks can cause anxiety, fear, or agitation for someone living with dementia. Prepare your loved ones in advance by explaining to them that there may be loud noises and continue doing so gently at different intervals. Soothing background sounds such as a white noise machine or an air conditioner can help keep the person relaxed if fireworks are going off near the home. Playing familiar favorite music can also be helpful. Having favorite comfort items, objects on hand, i.e. a blanket, article of clothing, etc., can help provide additional consolation. Check in on your loved one during the night if they live with you. If they live alone, consider asking a trusted relative or friend to stay with them or hire a home caregiver for the night. Keep gatherings small. If you plan on a gathering, keep it small. Large crowds are overwhelming, disorienting, and anxiety-producing for someone living with dementia. Consider providing name tags for everyone to help the person. Because of the possibility of sundowning, lunchtime celebrations could be best when there is less anxiety or confusion. Keep the person's routine as normal as possible, including meal times, nap times, and going to sleep at night. Incorporate favorite activities into the day. Celebrate creatively. Get involved in the holiday spirit by doing things together. Examples include creating patriotic decorations with your loved one, playing or singing familiar patriotic music, baking 4th of July themed desserts, or compiling a family album with pictures of past Independence Day memories. Each of these activities can be cognitively stimulating and help your loved one express themselves creatively. Families with questions or concerns can speak with a licensed social worker by calling AFA's helpline at 886-232-8484 or visiting www.alzfdn.org. The helpline is open 7 days a week. OC Tech's valedictorian honored with Student Hero Award. Just days after her high school graduation, Ashley Monquero, the valedictorian of OC Tech's class of 2022, heard she had been awarded one of 15 Student Hero Awards from the State Board of Education, SBOE, a news release detailed. Each of the 15 elected state board representatives selects one student from their region to receive this award. The District 1 representative, Georgina Perez from El Paso, selected Monquero. Her name is read as part of a resolution at the SBOE meeting in Austin on June 17th. A hardworking student who thinks of others' needs and has the initiative to make things happen, Monquero earned this recognition for her many community outreach efforts, not only here in Odessa, but also in her hometown of Albuquerque, New Mexico, the release said. Her projects range from helping the homeless with hygiene packages to advocating for women in abusive relationships through volunteer work at the crisis center to organizing a drive to collect feminine products for low-income families, women in shelters, and even fellow students to visiting children in the hospital dressed as a superhero to delivering a pizza to them to brighten their day. These are places adults often shy away from, but not Monquero. She is continually looking for ways to make the community better, and she tackles problems head-on. Today, Superintendent Scott Murray will do a local presentation of the Student Hero recognition to Ashley in the ECISD boardroom, 802 North Sam Houston, at 1:45 p.m. The Student Heroes Award Program recognizes Texas public school students in pre-kindergarten through high school who voluntarily work to assist and or benefit their fellow Texas students. The service must be voluntary and not part of any curriculum, graduation requirement, class, or community project. Quick hits, CASA Lunch and Learn. CASA of West Texas, 1611 West Texas Avenue, Midland, has scheduled a lunch and learn event from noon to 1 p.m. today. Lunch will be provided. Visit tinyurl.com/YSWFN638. Blood Drive. Vitalant has scheduled a blood drive from noon to 5 p.m. today at Back in Motion Chiropractic, 1113 South Scurry, Big Spring. To make an appointment, visit donors.vitalant.org. Painted Mermaid Rocks. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled Painted Mermaid Rocks for ages 6 through 12 from 3:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. today in the Basement Activity Room. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Art Talks, Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Art Talk from the ENAM Private Collection at 6 p.m. today. Food and drinks are available. Admission is free. Visit noelartmuseum.org. Exhibitions. Ballroom Marfa, 108 East San Antonio Street, Marfa, has scheduled the viewing of projects Carolina Quesito and David De La Rosa at the Museum of Modern Art through January 2, 2023, coinciding with the Blessings of the Mystery through September 4th. To learn about the artist's process in making the works, listen to their transmissions interview at tinyurl.com/4jthkx5w. Pirate Scavenger Hunt. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street has scheduled a pirate scavenger hunt throughout June. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Toy Drive, Meals on Wheels, 1314 East 5th Street, is collecting prizes to give away to young volunteers that serve during the summer. New toys such as water guns, water balloons, art supplies, board games, books, puzzles, ages 10 through 12, etc. are welcome. Toy donations may be dropped off at MOW between 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. For more information, call 432-333-6451, visit MOWOdessa.com, or reach them on Facebook. Volunteers needed. Meals on Wheels of Odessa is in need of volunteers. Volunteer opportunities include drivers, kitchen staff, and mud bug fundraising. To sign up or for more information, call 432-333-6451, email volunteer@MOWOdessa.com or visit MOWOdessa.com. Declining enrollment, topic of Texas Tribune event. The factors behind declining higher education enrollment, who's being left out, and what can be done about it will be discussed at the Great Student Resignation set for noon today at the Zant Community Room at Odessa College. The Texas Tribune event will be on the second floor of the Salisbury Campus Center. The panel will include Odessa College President Gregory Williams, University of Texas Permian Basin President Sandra Woodley, and Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray. The conversation, which will be live and virtual, will be moderated by Texas Tribune CEO and co-founder Evan Smith. Smith said Wednesday that the discussion will cover in part what's become of the college-going culture. We've picked a place where we have terrific leaders, educators, and two institutions that are actually holding their own, but we're having a conversation that is really not just about this region or the schools, but is more about the institution of higher education and about the state of Texas, Smith said. It's really about the college-going culture. If I were defining in one sentence what this event's going to be about, it is about what has become of the college-going culture here in year three of the pandemic, he added. Texas has a couple of challenges, he said. The first is that we don't graduate a lot of kids from college. If you look at the eighth grade cohort numbers that the Higher Education Coordinating Board puts out, you track kids beginning in the eighth grade in Texas public schools. You follow them through high school and then 6 years out. It's only about 1 in 5 that achieve some kind of completion, whether that's a four-year degree, a community college associate degree, or even a workforce certificate. It's only about 1 in 5, so that's already a challenge we had before the pandemic, Smith said. But during the pandemic, we saw that there were a couple of enormous icebergs in the path for kids who were thinking about going to school, the public health emergency being the largest of those, the corresponding economic downturn being a secondary one of those. The fact is that even the kids who managed to remain economically able to attend college and were able to stay healthy, and their family members stay healthy, found themselves for the better part of the last couple of years in at least hybrid classes, if not entirely online, he added. The experience was vastly different from most students before that. There were a lot of students who found they didn't enjoy the virtual environment, weren't getting anything out of it, and decided to bail. Overall, in the state, community college enrollment is down by double digits. I think the last number I saw was 13%. Overall, higher education enrollment is down maybe 4.5%, Smith said. Now, 4 years may not in fact be down, but because community college represents such a high percentage of the overall higher education enrollment in Texas, it was 50% before the pandemic, or a little bit more. The overall numbers are lower. A lot of that is community college for sure, but look, these are the future workers of the state. These are the future voters of the state. These are the future leaders of the state in some way. They're going to take the baton from all of us, and they're going to be running this place in a minute. So it does matter what happens to these kids, he added. In the Permian Basin, students may weigh going to college and incurring debt versus working in the oil field and making a lot of money. It's great for us to confront all of the different pressures and challenges that are on kids making this decision whether or not to enroll. But of course, as you know, there was a conversation before the pandemic where some people were saying, well, is higher education even worth it? Why do we need it? So we'll talk all about this stuff. It's really as much about the college-going culture. As I said at the beginning, in year three, where are we? What challenges do we have? What opportunities do we have? What are the problems we're going to solve? What are the solutions that are on the table? Smith said. Smith said he picked the panel and has known Woodley and Williams for years. I think they're really interesting leaders. Odessa College is recognized nationally as a success story. He is recognized nationally as a successful leader. Among the regional campuses of the big systems, UTPB is really interesting. I think she, Woodley, has a great and interesting background, having been in another state, leading another state's institutions, and she came here and she's done, I think, work that is really well regarded around the state, Smith said. I asked the superintendent to join because he's at the front end of the funnel. The kids in the public school districts are the ones who are ultimately going to make this decision, so I'm really interested to hear what he has to say about the conversation inside the schools, inside the district, and whether it's different now than it was 3 years ago, he added.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.